Thank you. Is this okay? Okay. Thank you all for coming. Thanks for the incredible work of the organizers, and I appreciate and honor my fellow readers here today. I'm honored to be reading with them. I got four poems, real upbeat subjects, two about homelessness and two about elder care, so buckle up. So I live on the south side, near the trail, and homelessness is an issue everywhere. And I walk these trails a lot, and so I wrote a couple poems. This first one's called Homeless Sweet, a little longer section poem. Across the street, a woman stops at piled garbage and open plastic barrels on the street for pickup. Fishing in to pick up three paper shopping bags, dumping their contents back into the barrel, carefully refolding the bags and walking away with them under her arm. Like she's arresting them, protecting and cuddling them, like she's going to store her dreams in them. Hope they don't smell too bad, the dreams. I'm not saying she's homeless or not, not for me to say, I know. Today on the river trail, I saw two men tying up tarps on their new encampment, having been booted out from the old encampment downtown yesterday. The city made a show of helping them dismantle, scribbling notes for the cameras, but at the end of the day, most were left to their own soiled devices. Some lay in sleeping bags in the rain this morning. Rain, the one thing we share. It's not for me to say very much these days. I got a new lock on my door yesterday, one of those keyless electronic ones, and yet I can't remove the old key from my ring. The city is tiny talking about building tiny houses. Jesus is a write-in candidate for mayor. Where do the homeless vote? I'm asking for a friend. The new tents go up beneath the bridge with all a joyless drudge of soldiers tired of battle. I don't know much firsthand, even less secondhand. I need to put the electric stim on my back to keep me open, keep me from spasming out on the floor, or perhaps simply to wake me up. Homelessness, two S's trailing off into a hiss. Boo, hiss, homeless, encampment. When the new guy says hello, I give him a wave, the equivalent of a slap across the face. See, that's where they're at, in one long present tense saga. In the table of contents, a series of asterisks covering their faces when they talk. Along the river last month, someone had let an unwanted guinea pig loose. After spotting photos, online attestations, the animal community lost its shit trying to capture and save it. To capture and save, to contract or contradict. A neighbor walks down the street picking up blown garbage from trash cans. I saw an exterminator emerge from his house this morning with a spray gun. The neighbor held his child in his arms. The boy was waving. We've all got delete buttons now. Things have been trickling down like the dye from Ronald Reagan's hair for over 40 years, and it still hasn't reached them. The homeless, that poor guinea pig. We can all use a few paper grocery bags. You can draw faces on them and cut out holes for your eyes and mouth or put groceries in them. I have no more idea than the mayor. My own dreams have a distinct odor as if something has turned. All I know is that we all lived in tiny houses. God help us. Thank you. And this happened last summer, and it received some attention, but some of you may be familiar with the color park along the trail, which shows up in here. This title runs into the first line, which is probably a good thing. 200 penises, give or take a couple of penises, spray painted and sprawl across the river trail. Forgive me for not counting them. I know that, like snowflakes, no two penises are alike, but these come close with their balloon animal cock and balls, hairless and without detail. I try not to step on the penises, but a little war going on here on the south side, homeless encampments lining the trail, and the city's bright idea to designate a certain section of it as the color park to allow capital A graffiti artists. How long did this last? Well, so the city painted over what extended beyond the color park boundaries. The penises covered that fresh paint. They showed each other who's boss. You'd think that might be the end of it, but the city put up invitations to peace talks alongside the trail. Me, I'm just a UN observer or a reporter for the news that stays news. As soon as I write just, I know I'm in trouble. I walk past a man fishing in our polluted river. Getting any bites, I ask? Well, he says. Okay. So thank you. Those are ellipses at the end of every stanza. Maybe you could hear them. Maybe not. Okay. Now on to elder care. There's a service called Mom's Meals where you can get meals delivered to your house. So that's the title of this poem. And the opening line explains that. Mom's Meals, the name of a company that delivers meals to senior citizens like my parents, who now live in their old dining room, a hospital bed and a single bed, a stairway rising now into the nowhere of their past, unvisited, unremembered. They complain about the meals they chose that pile in the fridge uneaten, something to be mad and obsessive about as their bodies and minds abandon them. Or they just forget about them. The TV volume shakes paint off the walls. Exaggeration's an art form here. The toe, the bruise, the misplaced checkbook. They're cashing all their checks earned with earlier kindnesses. The remote control, the center of this universe, mysterious rock or genie bottle. That's the beauty and horror. Those two words share no letters. She has the names of her brother's five wives memorized to show she's not all gone. Go ahead, ask her. He stores his pills in the pocket of the bib he wears. Whatever works until it doesn't. Me, I'm sitting on the couch turning down the beer I'm offered since I stopped drinking 15 years ago. Should I repeat myself? I could. Thing is, I will. I wonder if a mom invented mom's meals, or whether a child invented meals for mom, or if there's a God out there who could make them laugh again as I fall in my one simple assignment, as I fail in my one simple assignment. Is elder care an opera without translation, or am I grasping for the straws they drink with? I'm going to tell mom you're not eating her meals. Not funny. Mom's meals arrive on the porch every 2 weeks, packed in enough styrofoam to insulate an igloo. They worry about the waste, all that styrofoam. We've made up a story about recycling it, and we're sticking to that story, so I throw it in the trunk and take it home with us in our garbage. Sometimes we throw a few old meals in there, too. Sometimes I feel like we're miming our elder care. The remote needs a new battery. I slap it against my palm like a stubborn pet that refuses to obey, or maybe we're mouthers in the choir who've been told not to sing. Or maybe it's one big game of charades. The car in the garage idles in wait for its disposal. Today, I'm vacuuming our trunk out at the car wash, all those tiny pieces of styrofoam, or most of them. Styrofoam lasts forever. I'm doing my best, Mom. And thank you. This last poem is called French Omelette. And I had a sabbatical and we went to France and my parents from Detroit came to visit us. And my mom wanted a French omelette. When my parents came to France to visit, they got on the wrong train. We lived in the middle of nowhere, too small for their map. We retrieved them at another station and drove to our small home surrounded by someone else's grapevines. My father, retired from Ford's in Detroit, could not believe how narrow the roads were, unmarked paths, really, two-way traffic on one lane, requiring small gestures of deference. On sabbatical, I had a small break from marking papers. My mother raised five kids and nursed her tiny mother until she died, and all she wanted was a French omelet. Out of season, the small restaurants nearby were closed. I myself did not know what made an omelet French. We grew up with scrambled eggs on special occasions and hard-boiled for Easter. My two small children liked sweet brioche toasted for breakfast in our dark, stony kitchen. My mother read them bedtime stories. My father built fires in the fireplace. We were all in some version of heaven, though my mother already relied on a cane and wore tinted glasses on a narrowing road to a wheelchair and blindness. She got her omelet in a roadside cafe one sunny February afternoon, warm enough to sit outside on the tiny terrace. She refused to be disappointed with their small, modest lives, their ordinary children. She was in France, eating an omelet. So late, she had to keep it from floating away with her fork. Just the five of us in that cafe, my father could relax now that she had her omelet. We squinted into the sun with all the time in the world as the clocks briefly paused to grant her that small wish. I keep saying small, even as it grows in memory, looming down from the distant sky years after her passing. I can still see that full yellow plate in front of her. She ate it for the rest of her life. Thank you.